Today on Tristan Storytime, listen to the story of how Jack got the goose who lays the golden eggs. Then Chicken Licken and his friends go on a journey to tell the king that the sky is falling. Next, a wolf attempts to make a meal out of a donkey when he tells him to remove a thorn from his hoof, followed by a round of row, row, row your boat. And finally, a spider invites a fly into his parlor for dinner by charming her with seductive compliments. Will the fly fall for them and get caught in his web? That answer, those stories, and more, coming up next. Stay tuned. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Tristan Storytime. I'm Tristan Gardner. I'm so glad you're able to join me once again for another great episode. And as always, feel free to use your imaginations, because this is what this podcast is all about, using your imaginations. So find a seat and get comfortable, because another episode of Tristan Storytime is about to begin. Here is a story of how Jack got the goose who lays the golden eggs, and how his mother, Mother Goose, flew on her gander. And for those of you who don't know, Mother Goose is the master of all nursery rhymes. But anyway, I thought I'd tell the story of The History of Old Mother Goose and Her Son Jack. Old Mother Goose lived in a cottage with her son Jack. Jack was a very good lad, and although he was not handsome, he was good-tempered and industrious, and this made him better looking than half the other boys. Old Mother Goose carried a long stick. She wore a high-crowned hat and high-heeled shoes, and her kerchief was as white as the snow. Then there was the gander that swam in the pond, and the owl that sat on the wall. So you see, they formed a very happy family. But what a fine, strong fellow the gander was. Whenever Old Mother Goose wanted to take a journey, she would mount upon his broad, strong back, and away he would fly and carry her swiftly to any distance. Now Old Mother Goose thought her gander often looked sad and lonely. So one day, she sent Jack to market to buy the finest goose he could find. It was early in the morning when he started, and his way lay through a wood. He was not afraid of robbers, so on he went, with his mother's great clothes prop over his shoulder. The fresh morning air caused Jack's spirits to rise. He left the road and plunged into the thick of the wood, where he amused himself by leaping with his clothes prop till he found he had lost himself. After he had made many attempts to find the path again, he heard a scream. He jumped up and ran boldly towards the spot from which the sound came. Through an opening in the trees, he saw a young lady trying to get away from a ruffian who wanted to steal her mantle. With one heavy blow of his staff, Jack sent the thief howling away and then went back to the young lady, who was lying on the ground crying. She soon dried her tears when she found that the robber had made off and thanked Jack for his help. The young lady told Jack that she was the daughter of the squire who lived in the great white house on the hilltop. She knew the path out of the wood quite well, and when they reached the border, she said that Jack must come soon to her father's house so that he might thank him for his noble conduct. When Jack was left alone, he made the best of his way to the marketplace. He found little trouble in picking out the best goose, for when he got there, he was very late, and there was but one left. But as it was a prime one, Jack bought it at once, and keeping to the road, made straight for home. At first the goose objected to be carried, and then, when she had walked along slowly and gravely for a short time, she tried to fly away, so Jack seized her in his arms and kept her there till he reached home. Old Mother Goose was greatly pleased when she saw what a fine bird Jack had bought, and the gander showed more joy than I can describe. And then they all lived very happily for a long time. But Jack would often leave off work to dream of the lovely young lady whom he had rescued in the forest, and soon began to sigh all day long. He neglected the garden, cared no more for the gander, and scarcely even noticed the beautiful goose. But one morning, as he was walking by the pond, he saw both the goose and the gander making a great noise, as though they were in the utmost glee. He went up to them and was surprised to find on the bank a large golden egg. He ran with it to his mother, who said,
"Go to market, my son. Sell your egg, and you will soon be rich enough to pay a visit to the squire."
So to market Jack went and sold his golden egg, but the rogue who bought it off him cheated him out of half his due. Then he dressed himself in his finest clothes and went up to the squire's house. Two footmen stood at the door, one looking very stout and saucy, and the other sleepy and stupid. When Jack asked to see the squire, they laughed at him and made sport of his fine clothes. But Jack had wit enough to offer them each a guinea when they at once showed him to the squire's room. Now the squire, who was very rich, was also very proud and fat, and scarcely turned his head to notice Jack. But when he showed him his bag of gold and asked for his daughter to be his bride, the squire flew into a rage and ordered his servants to throw him into the horse pond. But this was not so easy to do, for Jack was strong and active, and then the young lady came out and begged her father to release him. This made Jack fall more deeply in love with her than ever, and he went home determined to win her in spite of it all. And well did his wonderful goose aid him in his design. Almost every morning, she would lay him a golden egg, and Jack, who had grown wiser, would no longer sell them at half their value to the rogue, who had before cheated him. So Jack soon grew to be a richer man than the squire himself. His wealth became known to all the country round, and the squire at length consented to accept Jack as his son-in-law. Then Old Mother Goose flew away into the woods on the back of her strong gander, leaving the cottage and the goose to Jack and his bride, who lived happily ever afterwards. Stay tuned for more stories, folks, as Tristan's Storytime continues. This classic story will teach you about courage, even when you're afraid to do something, or even if you believe the sky is falling. Of course, in real life, the sky can never fall and land on top of you. But anyway, here is the story of Chicken Lickin'. As Chicken Lickin' was going one day to the wood, an acorn fell from a tree onto his head.
"Goodness gracious me," said Chicken Lickin'. "The sky must have fallen. I must go and tell the king."
So Chicken Lickin' turned back and met Henny Lenny.
"Well, Henny Lenny, where are you going?"
he said.
"I'm going to the wood," she said.
"Oh, Henny Lenny, don't go," said Chicken Lickin'. "For as I was going, the sky fell onto my head, and I'm going to tell the king."
So Henny Lenny turned back with Chicken Lickin' and met Cocky Locky.
"I'm going to the wood," he said.
Then Henny Lenny said,
"Oh, Cocky Locky, don't go, for I was going and met Chicken Lickin', and Chicken Lickin' had been at the wood, and the sky had fallen onto his head, and we are going to tell the king."
So Cocky Locky turned back, and they met Ducky Lucky.
"Well, Ducky Lucky, where are you going?"
And Ducky Lucky said,
"I'm going to the wood."
Then Cocky Locky said,
"Oh, Ducky Lucky, don't go, for I was going and I met Henny Lenny, and Henny Lenny met Chicken Lickin', and Chicken Lickin' had been at the wood, and the sky had fallen onto his head, and we are going to tell the king."
So Ducky Lucky turned back and met Drakey Lakey.
"Well, Drakey Lakey, where are you going?"
And Drakey Lakey said, "I'm going to the wood." Then Ducky Lucky said,
"Oh, Drakey Lakey, don't go. For I was going, and I met Cocky Locky, and Cocky Locky met Henny Lenny, and Henny Lenny met Chicken Licken, and Chicken Licken had been at the wood, and the sky had fallen onto his head, and we are going to tell the king."
So Drakey Lakey turned back and met Goosey Lucy. "Well, Goosey Lucy, where are you going?" And Goosey Lucy said,
"I'm going to the wood."
Then Drakey Lakey said, "Oh, Goosey Lucy, don't go. For I was going, and I met Ducky Lucky, and Ducky Lucky met Cocky Locky, and Cocky Locky met Henny Lenny, and Henny Lenny met Chicken Licken, and Chicken Licken had been at the wood, and the sky had fallen onto his head, and we are going to tell the king." So Goosey Lucy turned back and met Gander Lander.
"Well, Gander Lander, where are you going?"
And Gander Lander said,
"I'm going to the wood."
Then Goosey Lucy said,
"Oh, Gander Lander, don't go. For I was going, and I met Drakey Lakey, and Drakey Lakey met Ducky Lucky, and Ducky Lucky met Cocky Locky, and Cocky Locky met Henny Lenny, and Henny Lenny met Chicken Licken, and Chicken Licken had been at the wood, and the sky had fallen onto his head, and we are going to tell the king."
So Gander Lander turned back and met Turkey Lurkey.
"Well, Turkey Lurkey, where are you going?"
And Turkey Lurkey said,
"I'm going to the wood."
Then Gander Lander said,
"Oh, Turkey Lurkey, don't go. For I was going, and I met Goosey Lucy, and Goosey Lucy met Drakey Lakey, and Drakey Lakey met Ducky Lucky, and Ducky Lucky met Cocky Locky, and Cocky Locky met Henny Lenny, and Henny Lenny met Chicken Licken, and Chicken Licken had been at the wood, and the sky had fallen onto his head, and we are going to tell the king."
So Turkey Lurkey turned back and walked with Gander Lander, Goosey Lucy, Drakey Lakey, Ducky Lucky, Cocky Locky, Henny Lenny, and Chicken Licken. And as they were going along, they met Foxy Loxy. And Foxy Loxy said,
"Where are you going?"
And they said, "Chicken Licken went to the wood, and the sky fell onto his head, and we are going to tell the king." And Foxy Loxy said,
"Come along with me, and I'll show you the way."
But Foxy Loxy took them into the fox's hole, and he and his young ones soon ate up poor Chicken Licken, Henny Lenny, Cocky Locky, Ducky Lucky, Drakey Lakey, Goosey Lucy, Gander Lander, and Turkey Lurkey. And they never saw the king to tell him that the sky had fallen. Of course, we know that the sky had not fallen, don't we? Of course, the moral of this story is to have courage, even if you believe that the sky is falling. Or to put it in another way, don't believe everything that you are told. Or if you really want a good moral to this story, never trust a crafty fox. I just love reading stories, don't you? You're listening to Tristan's Storytime. You may recall the story of the wolf and the kid, where a lost little lamb would have been this wolf's supper, but instead the wolf took to playing his pipe, and two shepherd dogs chased him away as a result. But now I'm going to tell you a different instance of a wolf, in this fable called The Wolf and the Donkey by Aesop. A donkey was feeding in a pasture near a wood when he saw a wolf lurking in the shadows along the hedge. He easily guessed what the wolf had in mind and thought of a plan to save himself. So he pretended he was lame and began to hobble painfully. When the wolf came up, he asked the donkey what had made him lame. And the donkey replied that he had stepped on a sharp thorn.
"Please pull it out," he pleaded, groaning as if in pain. "If you do not, it might stick to your throat when you eat me."
The wolf saw the wisdom of the advice, for he wanted to enjoy his meal without any danger of choking. So the donkey lifted up his foot, and the wolf began to search very closely and carefully for the thorn. Just then, the donkey kicked out with all his might, tumbling the wolf a dozen paces away. And while the wolf was getting very slowly and painfully to his feet, the donkey galloped away to safety.
"Serves me right," growled the wolf as he crept into the bushes. "I'm a butcher by trade, not a doctor."
And the moral to this fable is, in four simple words, stick to your trade. No matter how many obstacles life throws at you, you should not quit. That's the meaning of today's nursery rhyme, which goes back, way back, to the 19th century. And today's nursery rhyme is Row, Row, Row Your Boat. And this is another song to sing in a round if you'd like to. So come along, let's sing along to Row, Row, Row Your Boat. Merrily, we are rolling along, rolling along. Okay, that's another song. Never mind. Stick around. Tristan Storytime will continue in a moment. Some of you may be familiar with this poem, which is a cautionary tale against those who use flattery and charm to disguise their true intentions. And this one stars two insects, namely, a spider and a fly. In this story, a cunning spider entraps a fly into its web through the use of seduction and manipulation. And it's all in this classic poem, The Spider and the Fly, by Mary Howitt.
"Will you walk into my parlor?" said the spider to the fly. "'Tis the prettiest little parlor that ever you did spy. The way into my parlor is up a winding stair, and I have many curious things to show when you are there."
"Oh, no, no," said the little fly. "To ask me is in vain, for who goes up your winding stair can never come down again."
"I'm sure you must be weary, dear, with soaring up so high. Will you rest upon my little bed?" said the spider to the fly. "There are pretty curtains drawn around. The sheets are fine and thin. And if you'd like to rest a while, I'll snugly tuck you in."
"Oh, no, no," said the little fly. "For I've often heard it said, they never, never wake again who sleep upon your bed."
Said the cunning spider to the fly.
"Dear friend, what can I do to prove the warm affection I've always felt for you? I have within my pantry good store of all that's nice. I'm sure you're very welcome. Will you please to take a slice?"
"Oh, no, no,"
said the little fly.
"Kind sir, that cannot be. I've heard what's in your pantry, and I do not wish to see."
"Sweet creature," said the spider, "you're witty and you're wise. How handsome are your gauzy wings, how brilliant are your eyes. I have a little looking glass upon my parlor shelf. If you'll step in one moment, dear, you shall behold yourself.
I thank you, gentle sir,
she said,
for what you're pleased to say. And bidding you good morning now, I'll call another day.
The spider turned him round about and went into his den, for well he knew the silly fly would soon come back again. So he wove a subtle web in a little corner sly, and set his table ready to dine upon the fly. Then came out to his door again, and merrily did sing,
Come hither, hither, pretty fly, with pearl and silver wing. Your robes are green and purple, there's a crest upon your head. Your eyes are like the diamond bright, but mine are dull as lead.
Alas, alas, how very soon this silly little fly, hearing his wily flattening words, came slowly flitting by. With buzzing wings she hung aloft, then near and nearer drew, thinking only of her brilliant eyes and green and purple hue. Thinking only of her crested head, poor foolish thing, at last up jumped the cunning spider and fiercely held her fast. He dragged her up his winding stair into the dismal den within his little parlor, but she ne'er came out again. And now, dear little children, who may this story read, to idle, silly, flattening words, I pray you ne'er give heed. Unto an evil counselor, close heart and ear and eye, and take a lesson from this tale of the spider and the fly. Boy, those were some great stories that we read today, weren't they? But we've just come to the end of another great show. Did you enjoy it? I know I did. Leave a comment on the Tristan Storytime Facebook page and Twitter feed. And don't forget to follow Tristan Storytime on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Oh, and hey, if you missed a great story from the past, you're in luck, because you get to see great videos of some of the stories I read in the past every Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. on social media. Music and sound effects are included. And if you want to get in touch with me, that's also very easy. Just send an email to tristanstorytime@gmail.com and I'll be in touch with you lickety-split. Well, it's time for me to go, but I'll be back again to read some more great stories to you. Until next time, I'm Tristan Gardner. Thank you for listening, and God bless, my friends. And remember, keep using your imaginations. Today's stories and nursery rhymes are The History of Mother Goose and Her Son Jack, taken from the book My First Picture Book by Joseph Martin Cronheim, published in 1871 by George Routledge and Sons. Chicken Licken, taken from the book Childhood's Favorites and Fairy Stories, edited by Hamilton Wright Mabey, Edward Everett Hale, and William Byron Forbush. Editing assistance by Jenny Ellis Burdick. Published in 1927 by the University Society, Incorporated. The Wolf and the Donkey, taken from the book The Aesop for Children by Aesop. Pictures by Myla Winter. Published in 1919 by Rand McNally and Company. Row, Row, Row Your Boat, written by Eliphalet Oram Light. Originally published in 1852. Music arrangement by The Green Orbs. The Spider and the Fly by Mary Howitt. Taken from the book Childhood's Favorites and Fairy Stories. Edited by Hamilton Wright Mabey, Edward Everett Hale, and William Byron Forbush. Editing assistance by Jenny Ellis Burdick. Published in 1927 by the University Society, Incorporated.